Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the greatest day of the year. Amen. Easter Sunday morning, y'all look so good this morning. Just turn to the person next to you and say, boy, you're looking good this morning. Glad to have you. Come on, yeah, look great. Glad you're here. And listen, if you're here for the first time, welcome, welcome. So glad that you are with us this morning. My name is Kyle Mills. I'm the lead pastor here at Elevate City. And just so honored to have you with us today. And we know you could be anywhere. And so thank you so much for spending your Easter with us. I want to, just before I get into the message this morning, want to draw your attention inside your worship guide today to this connection card, if you would pull that out just for a quick second here this morning. And we just want, this is an opportunity that we do once a year because everybody's in church on Easter, and it's kind of our feedback survey that we do. So don't want anything from you, but just want you to kind of help us out with something. Obviously, this is the best way to connect with us on the front side, as you see, but also just really want to draw your attention to two things this morning. The bottom of this card is an opportunity, a place for you to put any needs that we can just be praying about, any areas in your life that we can just come into agreement and be praying with you. Our team, our staff, our leaders, we pray over these all the time through the week, and it's an honor. I just want you to know it's an honor for us to just connect with you and the needs in your life, and then also on our Saturday morning times of prayer that we always pray over these as well. But on the back side, if you would flip on the back side there, I just have really one question. Really, this is very simple for us this year as opposed to last year. We had a couple that we needed some help with in service times, but this year, we do once a year in the fall a series called You Asked For It. And so we'd just love your help. Obviously, you see different topics there. And so whether it's your first time or not, would love your feedback and your help on this, just different topics that you want to hear about. And there's a spot there that you can write in, other topics that you're thinking about. And actually, we encourage you to do that. And maybe you're thinking, well, isn't that kind of your job, Pastor? Well, it is part of my job. But also, if you look at the life and ministry of Jesus, he did this. There would be his disciples and those that followed Jesus that would ask him questions and to life and just the journey, and then he would take the opportunity to answer those. So if you would do that, that would be helpful for us in our fall time for our series. And so keep that close by. We'll go back to this card at the end of the service here this morning. I want to start off in a scripture this morning that I like to begin on Easter with, and it's out of Romans chapter 8. In verse 11, and there's message notes that are inside your worship guide as well. If you already haven't seen that, you can follow along in that way or on the screens here behind me. And it says this, that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. In other words, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave out of that tomb wasn't just a one-time thing, but it was for you and for me, that we can experience the resurrection life and the power of God. That's a good place to say amen, church. Amen. Thankful for that power. And it goes on to say, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. In other words, or give life to your dead things. God intended for Easter power to come into your dead areas of your life and to give you and I life again. And it says this, to your life, to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So the resurrection, if you follow along, you can jot this down this morning with us. The resurrection of Jesus gives you the power to close the gap between the life you are living and could live. You know, Easter isn't just a day that we celebrate once a year. It's a life that we get to live every day with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he's paid for us. So Easter really is a day, it's a time to experience. And not just a day meant to celebrate, but Easter is something that the Lord would love us to experience the fullness of his presence, the fullness of his power. And I just want you to know this morning that you are a candidate for God to do something powerful through. And something maybe that this morning that maybe you didn't know about the Bible that I want to just show you here today is that most of the men and women that God used according to the world standards were failures, were mistakes. And in fact, most of the people God used really weren't successful at all. I even think about my own story, my own resume. in my life. It wasn't good. I never felt like there was a pulpit committee in the world who would ever want to choose me. I grew up with a speech problem, grew up with a lot of different issues in my life, dropped out of high school, and so just felt like, man, I could never attain what it is that I felt that I wanted to do with my life. But when I look across the scriptures in the Bible, I also am able to understand and to see there's a lot of men and women that I can identify with. And what I'm so thankful is that the Bible and the way that God has written his book is something to be experienced. I tell our church all the time, it's packed with drama. And it's awesome to read the different stories. I'm going to show you something here today, but a couple of the people I was thinking about as I was thinking about my resume not being good enough, I thought about a Moses in Scripture who was shy, who had his own speech problem, who was also sinful, and he was a murderer. Think about Samson, who had a problem with the ladies. And he had a problem with his hair as well. All right, it's a funny story. All right, David was someone who was a man after God's own heart, but was an adulterer, and he was a murderer. And this is why I love Jesus, because Jesus had a reputation of getting close to people who the world called failures. And why did God do this? Why is he that way? God goes out of his way to communicate something very powerful to you and I, that God takes people like us who don't have it all together and uses them in a great way. And we're going to look at a man that God visited and God moved upon. His name was Paul. Before his name was Paul, he was actually called Silas. And he was responsible of helping to write 2/3 of the New Testament, helped to plant churches, was responsible for spreading the gospel really more than anybody else. But what you may not know about Paul and his life was when God chose him, he wasn't even a Christian. What'd you think about that? When God chose him, he was a person that was responsible for slaughtering Christians. He was the mastermind behind killing Christians in his time. But yet in the midst of his journey, think about this, while he wasn't following God and while he was full of hate and rage and he was really anti-God, God never stopped pursuing him. God never stopped chasing him. Why? Because we serve a God who is just audacious with his love for us because we are his creation and there is a future that God has for you and me. Amen, everybody? And so that's part of his journey. And so we pick this up here in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul was having a moment, I believe something that we all need. He had a God encounter on this road called Damascus. Here he was, a hateful man, a man full of sin, murdering God's own people. And yet on the midst of this road called Damascus, God visits him. And I'm just telling you that when you experience the presence of God, maybe for the first time, and our prayer is today that you experience the presence of God here this morning, but when you experience him, I'm telling you, your life will never again be the same. Amen. Jesus, in his power and his might and what he did on that cross over 2,000 years ago, he had you and I in mind, and I'm so thankful for that. So on that road of Damascus, this is, I love the name of the road because I think it's exactly what God did for Paul, did for Silas before his name was changed to Paul, was a demasking, taking off the blinders so that he could see and hear God. And so he has a conversion experience, gives his life over to God. So we're going to kind of speed the story up here in verse 20. It says that once he began to preach, Paul, in the synagogues, that Jesus is the Son of God, all those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't this the same man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among all those who call on this name? Like, just imagine, from one moment he's murdering Christians and is anti-God and everything else to the other moment of now he's saved and preaching. I mean, you got to imagine people going crazy in their minds, like, what is happening with this brother, you know? And it goes on to say, yet Saul grew more and more powerful, and hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. So I don't want to rush too much through this story because I just want this to, try to sink in as best as we can this morning, that this brother went from a serial killer, y'all, to a preacher. Now think about that in 2017 terms. I don't know that we'd see that today. Maybe we would. But here he was, because there is such an incredible loving God that saw in him what he didn't see in himself, and that God visited him on this road, and he had an experience. He had an encounter with Jesus. I'm just telling you this morning, when you experience Christ for the first time, man, it is, your life will never be the same again. So here's Paul in 1 Timothy 1. He said that, he's talking here. He said, even though I was once a blasphemer, Paul said, and I was a persecutor, I was a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace, everybody shout, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom he said, I'm the worst. He was like, I don't think anybody can top what I've done. I'm a bad man. It's not good what I've done. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display, love this, if you're a note taker, you may want to underline this, unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. How many of y'all thankful that God is unlimited in his patience with you and me? Yeah, if you like me, that's a struggle for me. I got to continue to grow in his patience. And he created me, so I know he's got to be patient. Amen, everybody? But unlimited in his patience, unlimited in his love, unlimited in his grace and his heart to see you grow into the man, the woman that he has destined you to be. God wanted you and I to know that failure is never final. Amen. You can say a good amen to that. Failure is never final. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, failure is never final. Listen, it might be with people, but not with God. Failure is never final with God. I love that in the midst of my brokenness, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my issues, that I don't have to first have all my stuff together, then go to God. No, I go to God because I don't have all my stuff together. Amen, everybody. And so understand, he is a relational God, not a God of religion, but he's a relational God. And that's who he is. He loves you. There's no such thing as being too far gone. No such thing with God. Religion will try to tell you that. Man will try to tell you that. God won't tell you that. You are close. And I'm telling you, he is in this place today. And he is with you. Failure is never final. And the thing that I love so much about the Lord and the price that he paid on that cross, that he is the God of the second chance. I'm so glad that he is the God of the second chance. I'm so glad that he forgives me and forgives you and me and doesn't remember it and doesn't treat us as others would, but we forgive and we move on. Why? Because he teaches us that. We love because we were first loved by him. You and I can't love without knowing him. It's true. And so it's understanding his heart. He's the God of the second chances. And one of the most probably liberating, freeing things I think I've ever learned in my life, probably one of the most practical, one of the most helpful reminders that I have in the journey, is remembering that my problems and my issues in my life are not a measure of my spirituality, because we all have issues. We all have problems, amen? They happen to everybody. And Jesus said, in this world, you and I will have trouble, but to fear not, because he's overcome the world. And so, just want to be real practical. Paul teaches us a few different things that we can learn from our failures and our mistakes. And the first one is to say goodbye to yesterday. Don't let your yesterdays define you, because God refuses for it to define you. You need to understand that that's part of the reason why he went to the cross on Calvary, is so that you could live a life of being forgiven, but a life of freedom. That you are not dictated, nor is your future controlled by your yesterdays. It's a word for someone here this morning. I really believe that what happened is what happened. It's time to say goodbye. It's time to move forward. For someone here, it's time to get up and get moving in Jesus' name. Philippians says this, chapter 3, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what's ahead,
I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here's the other thing that I love about this story and Paul's journey is that you have to learn to redefine future failures. God used Paul, I think, to really teach us some great lesson in how to do that. That when failures come and we make mistakes, Paul learned how to take what seemed like a setback and allow God to turn it into a comeback. And so they would throw threats at Paul all the time in Scripture. You see it as you read it. They said things like, Paul, we'll throw you back in prison. And Paul's saying, cool, can I go back? Because I had some God encounters there. And so, well, then we'll kill you. And Paul would respond and say, well, I've been having this dilemma because I realize to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so I'm good with that too. However you want to roll it, I'm cool because I'll go. And so, but it's realizing, and it's understanding to redefine future failure. 2 Corinthians 6 says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. I love this because God taught Paul to redefine trouble and made a decision to not allow what was happening to him to control his life, dictate his life, and to allow it to affect him. And then I love the last kind of lesson that we learn here from Paul is that we find the benefit in every bad experience that we go through. And I've just learned we're gonna have moments we're gonna fall. We're gonna have moments we're gonna make mistakes, right, everybody? And I've just learned that in the moments that I make a mistake and I might fail at something and when I fall down, I know that I'm not gonna stay there, but why I fall down, I might as well go ahead and learn something and clean up the floor and get back up again. In other words, learning from these experiences and not allowing the past to control my future, but I'm gonna learn from what I'm going through and move forward in Jesus' name. Paul was in a place where he was in jail. I love his attitude, and as you read in the Gospels, you'll see it so much with his life because he took it as a ministry opportunity. He took it as an opportunity to write letters, but then he took it as an opportunity to minister to the jailers in the prison. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 and verse 17 of the Living Bible says, we are pressed on every side. And here's what I know this morning. I just feel like there's somebody here today that maybe you're feeling that way. Maybe you're feeling pressed on every side. Can I just tell you, God is in the house today. He's with you. He's for you. Pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do. But listen to this. We don't give up, and we're not going to quit. Amen, everybody? Come on, amen, everybody? Amen. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. I love that about our God, that he's so relational that he gave you and I the promise to never leave us or forsake us. Never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. These troubles and sufferings of ours, after all, quite small and won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. Can I just tell you something, too, about our God? That God never expected perfection out of you and me. Never expected perfection out of us. He realizes we're going to mess up. When he came to earth, when God so loved that he sent his son, he was fully God but fully man, he gets it. I'm going to show you in a scripture in a few minutes how much he gets it of you and I, and that's why he's able to relate. But he realizes you and I are going to need some second chances. How many of you thank God for second chances? We serve the God of the second chance. And I want to just kind of illustrate it this way. The game of golf is a frustrating game for me. I mean, if you play golf with me, it's going to be a long day. Pack your lunch. It's a long day. I'm just telling you, this golf is just not, I like to think I can play well, but I'm just being honest. I can't, all right? So you're kind of trying to fake it till you make it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I watched Sergio last week at the Masters, and I just thought, man, wearing that green jacket, I just thought, man, one day, but it's not happening. I know everybody. But let a brother dream, all right? And so, but I have this constant struggle. So I want to illustrate it this way. I have this constant struggle when I'm hitting the ball, specifically with my driving and then my short game, which is my pitching wedge, all right? And I just, oh, man, I just, it's bad. My driving, I just slice it or I hook it. So I'm constantly, when I'm playing, trying to work on that part of my game, because if not, it's like I said, it tends to be a long day. You can ask some of the brothers that have been in this church and have gone with me. It's been a long day. And so, but nonetheless, I think so much about this part of the game, and specifically when I get up to the tee and I've sliced it, you know, there's this thing called mulligans. Everybody say mulligans. Oh, in golf. Thank you, Jesus, for mulligans. And let me just kind of define what a mulligan is, the actual definition. And I'll just be honest, too. I'm one of those guys that, and I, for all the golfers out there, that I don't do this all the time, so just hear my heart on it. But you're only supposed to take a mulligan. Sometimes I take a couple. But anyways, but here's the definition of it. Make sure, I don't play in front of you. But this is the definition of the dictionary. It means an extra stroke that's allowed after a poor shot, but it's not counted on the scorecard. The Bible says if God kept the record of sin, who could stand? And that's why we're thankful for the blood of Jesus that was poured out for you and for me. That when he shed his blood for us, without that shedding of blood, we wouldn't have the forgiveness of our sins and the freedom in our life. And can I tell you something cool and powerful about our God? Is that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God's saying, I want to give you another chance. And he's the God of the 150th chance too, by the way. That he keeps loving you. He keeps forgiving us. And when you mess up, can I just tell you, God says, take them all again. Take them all again. Now, these are plastic, so just so you know, all right? And so I'm not going to throw them at anybody's head, but I'm going to throw them out here in just a minute, so be ready, all right? But here's what God is saying. Here's what God is saying. Having a little fun with you this morning, but here is what he's saying. He said, for some of us, maybe we need another shot at our marriage. He says, take them all again. He said, for some of us, maybe it's in our family. Maybe we've been struggling in our family, and God says, I want you to take another shot. Take another shot. Take another shot. For some of us, maybe it's a career. Maybe it's a career, and God says, I want you to take another shot. I want you to continue to trust me. I want you to continue to believe me. For some of us, maybe, listen to me this morning, we need to make a decision for the Lord. Maybe we've fallen away from God, or maybe we don't know even who God is until today. I'm just telling you, God says, hey, take a shot, guys. Take a shot. And let me just tell you this, church. Jesus went through a lot in order to give you and I a second chance. He was brutalized on that cross, on the whipping post, nails put in his hands. Why? Because he was thinking of you. And because he loves you and I enough, thank you, Jesus, for paying the price so I didn't have to. Thank you for eternal life. It's a great place to say amen. Thank you, Lord. Where would we be without Jesus? I would have lost my mind a long time ago. And I was thinking about this week as I was praying over this message and going through it, that Jesus, because he was fully man, there was probably a human moment that he had, because we're still humans, everybody, that he probably had, and maybe the thought went through his mind. I don't know if it did. Where the thought or the question would be, is this worth it? And I think immediately, because of our Savior and who he is, he said, he knew real quick, yes, it is, because I know Kyle will need a mulligan. I know Bethany's going to need a mulligan. I know Jason's going to need a mulligan. I know Ariel's going to need a mulligan. David's going to, they're going to need another chance. Aren't you thankful for the God of the second chance? Aren't you thankful for that, church? Amen. So this morning, one of our young women in our church experience the God of the second chance. And I want you to check out her story.
My name is Amy Simpson. And about 8 or 9 months ago, I started coming to Elevate City Church. Prior to that, for about 18 years, I was an atheist. I was confirmed to church when I was 14, I think, and just never really committed to going. And so as I got older, I got away from church altogether. I, for years, had depression and anxiety. I'd gone to counselors. I'd been on medications. I'd read lots of self-help books, and still all those things would help a little bit, but I still always had the anxiety and sometimes depression. Coming to Elevate was the first turning point in getting involved. I went from, at that point, the atheist going to church to a full embracing the love of God and wanting to build a relationship with God. And now I'm off medication and don't have the anxiety, maybe once in a while, but usually no anxiety, no depression. So things aren't perfect, but they sure are a lot better than they were. One thing I think is really important is that when I was coming to church every week and Sundays, you know, it's an hour of fantastic fun, and then you go home and it's like you start to lose that excitement. And I think it's so important for people to realize, and especially for me, that church isn't just on Sunday, that you really have to immerse yourself. And there's a lot of different avenues you can go down, but church is not just on Sunday. If you want to get the most out of your relationship with God, there's so much more that you can do. So that's something that I've learned and has really been helpful for me. I see myself as a very positive person, enthusiastic. I'm happy, I'm content, but overall I just love to be around people and love to make other people smile.
Amen, everybody. Isn't that awesome? Changed life. Thank God for a changed life. Hebrews 4, by the way, you can keep those balls I just tossed down, all right? Those are yours, all right? Those are free. Chapter 4, verse 15. I love this verse. This is such a powerful and important verse for you and for me. It says, we don't have a high priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing. He's experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy. Everybody say, take the mercy. Accept the help. Everybody say, accept the help. Listen, he's the God of the second chance. He gets it. He's relational. He understands every moment, every pain, everything that you and I have gone through or will go through. Jesus gets it. It's why he came. And I'm so thankful for that. So for some of us here this morning, as I begin to close up this message here today, number one is for some, we need another shot at peace. For some, it's just, we just maybe have felt like, man, it's just been one thing after another. We feel like just chaos. But I want you to know that's why he went to the cross. It's one of the reasons why he took upon the punishment. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5 that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. In the midst of a troubled world, God said, you can live in peace. While people are losing their minds, you can be at peace. And it's the peace that the world cannot give you, everybody. It's only the peace that comes through a personal relationship with Jesus. Number two, we need another shot at life. Another shot at life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. That when you step into a relationship with Jesus, your yesterdays are taken care of. There's a new you that's happening in a relationship with Jesus. I was thinking this week about a story that it's been a while since I've told this too, of a young woman who is a part of one of the ministries that we give into as a church and in relationship with the Dream Center out in Los Angeles, and Pastor Matthew Barnett, friends and ministry friends of ours. And this young woman was a former prostitute in South Central LA. She did it for years, and man came and found Christ in the church there at the Dream Center. And Pastor Matthew said one Sunday, he said, I'll never forget it, he said this young woman came down after a Sunday service and came right up to me and said, Pastor, and the Lord spoke to me and gave me my call, what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to start a ministry. He said, okay, what is it? And she said, I'm supposed to start the pimp ministry. And he said, the what? And she said, yes, sir, Pastor, the pimp ministry. I'm going to go back down to the corner I used to be a prostitute at, and I'm going to win all them pimps to Jesus. And he said, whoa. He said, okay. He said, well, we'll be praying. And so for weeks, months, she was consistent, going down and just sharing the love of God. And
man, just telling the girls and the pimps about Jesus, and she was consistent. So finally, man, the pimps and the other girls got so mad because this girl was hurting their business. And so they had a conversation and said, hey, you got to quit coming down here like this. You're ruining our business. Nobody's wanting to come by here anymore. Like, you got to stop this. He said, well, can we make a deal or something so you won't keep coming down here? And she said, I'm open. I'm listening. What? And they said, we'll give you 5 minutes uninterrupted and we'll listen to you. And then after the 5 minutes, you got to go. She said, 5 minutes uninterrupted with all you. And he said, yeah. She said, deal. So then she would go consistently every week and sharing the love of Christ, 5 minutes, and then she would honor her word and go. But can I just tell you, your consistency will break down walls. And it will break down the walls of resistance, especially in ministry capacities when God has called you something, to always remember consistency tears down the walls of resistance. And so all of a sudden, something began to happen in those pimps and those girls. And so finally, one night, she was down there getting ready to leave, and they stopped her before she left. They said, man, we just can't believe you've continued to come down here and just honor your word and share the love of God. So we'd like to invite you to one of our functions. And she said, one of your functions? What's that? They said, the pimp convention that we have coming up. It's a real thing, everybody, in LA, only in Los Angeles, all right? And so she said, absolutely, I'm there. When is it? So they told her the day and the time. So she comes to church the next Sunday and comes down after the service and Pastor Matthew, you'll never believe it, I've been invited to one of the functions that the pimps are having. He said, well, what's the function? And she said, I've been invited to the pimp convention. He said, the what? She said, the pimp convention, Pastor. And I'm going. He said, you're not really going, right? And she said, oh, no, Pastor, I'm going to go. And she said, I'm telling you, I'm going to win all these pimps to Jesus. And he said, well, I'm not going with you, but may the Lord go with you, you know, in Jesus' name. And so they go, and she said, got in a limo. It's a red carpet event. Said they got out on the red carpet and went inside and stayed the whole night with these guys inside this convention. And they were so just, could not believe this woman's heart. That at the end of the night, they just said to her, said, hey, listen, we just can't believe you. The fact that you would actually stay, we never thought you'd stay this whole night. But we just want to say, we'll go to one function that you want us to go to. And she said, I want y'all to come to church this Sunday. And they said, all right, we'll be there. So later that week, she calls the office and gets a hold of Pastor Matthew. Says, Pastor Matthew, you'll never believe it. The pimps are coming to church this Sunday. They're coming to church. Have your best message ready. Pastor Matthew's like, no pressure. So he said he got up that Sunday morning and he got behind and he said, begin to preach. When he said, I looked in the balcony and I saw six guys in fur coats, feathered hats, canes, just kind of swagging on in, and all had a seat up in the balcony. He said, by the end of the message, he said that day, he said, we had an altar call that day, and he said, took them a little bit to get down, and he said, but all six of those pimps came down and received Jesus and their life. Listen, I'm just telling you, for some of you, you need another shot at life, and no matter what the world has told you, God loves you, and he is for you, and he can use anybody to help be a change agent in the world if we'll just respond to him. Amen, everybody? That's why no matter what's happening, Romans 8:28, great verse, says we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Number three, last one, is that some of us, we need this morning, and we're going to make this decision. There's many people that's going to make this decision here in a moment. They need another shot at eternity. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That word sin in the Greek literally just means to miss the mark. All of us have sinned. You don't want to pay for your own sin. Jesus has done that. Heaven and hell are realities, folks, all right? Jesus has paid the price for us. Romans 6:23, here's the good news, though. The wages of sin is death, but it's the gift of God that is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And a verse that I honor and respect so much, in John 3:16 and 17, that for God so loved the world, so much that he gave his only son, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send, verse 17, his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Amen. Now here's what I'd like to ask for the next three to four minutes. Is nobody moving around Everybody, if you would, just stay seated where you're at. This is a very important moment in our service. But I'd love for all of you just to grab that Connect card in your worship guide, if you take that back out for me. And I want everyone to just take this spiritual survey with me this morning. On the card on the front side, you'll see the boxes A, B, C, and D. And I'll explain these, and I want to encourage you to check one of those. And I'm just telling you, you're one of these four today, no doubt. If you're here this morning and you say, Kyle, I'm certain I'm a follower of Jesus. I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm in a personal relationship with him. Jesus has brought me out. If that's you, you can check A and just say, I'm already in that relationship. But I believe there's many in here today. I believe there's a lot of B's here today. If you'd say, Kyle, I recognize this morning I need that relationship with Jesus. I need God to rescue me. I need a real relationship with Jesus. If that's you, you'll want to check B. And by that, you're saying, I'm believing today that I need a fresh start in my life, a new beginning, and a real relationship with God today. Or if you're here this morning and you'd say, Kyle, man, all this sounds good, but I'd like to consider this a little bit more first. I just want you to know this morning, I've just always dreamed of having a church that wasn't for church people. I don't think churches are for church people. I think churches should be a place when you don't believe maybe what we believe, or you don't serve and don't give, and you want to just be able to come and just check things out and ask questions and learn on the way, can I do that? And the answer is yes, you can. Yes, you can. And so this morning, if you're here in that place, you say, man, I just need to consider a little bit longer. I want to encourage you to check C. Just saying, I'd like to consider more of what God wants to do in my life. Or if you're here this morning and you'd say this, say, God, I don't ever intend on giving my life to the Lord. I don't think I need God in my life. In fact, I'm just going to live my life how I want to. I just want to encourage you today to have the guts and to be honest enough with you to check D today as well. And so I just want to ask you to just please respect all those around you here today and to just stay seated and quiet. I just want to give just a minute here for us to take this time to check that. And when you're done, if you would, just bow your head where you're at, because that'll let me know that you're finished with that. So let's take a minute here. Our head bowed. If you checked B today, and I just want you to know we are so excited for you, and I want to pray with you right now. And first I'm going to pray for you, and then you can follow me in a prayer. But Father, there are people here today who in one way or another feel like they're dying maybe inside, and only you can give them life again. Jesus, I thank you today that you bring us out from the bondage of slavery to sin, and that you pay the ultimate price so that we could have life, and that you would save us. So today, I pray, Lord, that you will move in their life in a powerful way so they can know you personally and experience real life. And so if you check B this morning, I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me for living life my way. Today I invite you to be the Lord of my life. Take control of my life. Make me the kind of person that you want me to be. Give me the power to change. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we just give Jesus